much about the French I took, but I do know.
Good morning, 809, News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. In the run-up to the 200th anniversary of the establishment of Escambia County this summer, we have a series that's running in the Pensacola News Journal, written by historians and archaeologists, trying to bring to light what life was like then and since, and really remind us of our history and teach us some of our history. And so what we've been doing on Wednesdays is having the authors of these articles on to tell us on air what they have already put so diligently into print. Deborah Mullins is a historical archaeologist, and this is part two, so she is on again. Welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, Deborah.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me back.
Absolutely. So this week's article is sort of, I mean, there's a lot of things in here, but part of what it is what were people doing? What kind of occupations? What kind of businesses? Mm-hmm. What was going on in this period in Pensacola in the early 1800s?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, obviously, it expanded much, much more than I ever could in the newspaper article. But essentially, you know, you can look at it two ways, it's sort of in town and around town, outside of the city limits. There were so many businesses in Pensacola, and those would range from just small scale transactions between a seller and a buyer, from anything from food or tools or cleaning jobs and things like that. And then, of course, there was much larger scale businesses all around Pensacola that were developing in the time period, especially industrial type jobs or light industry, I guess you could describe them, brick making, lumber, naval stores, things like that. So there were a lot of industrial jobs in developing around the area. We never had big plantations develop around Pensacola.
Okay.
That you see in other parts of Florida or the South. So that was a big difference between the population groups here and that you see in the rest of the South.
If they were
in time period,
if they were doing some of these things, you know, various, and I'm sure they all have some of their own answers, but like if they're doing brick making, which was a big deal, was that primarily for local construction, or would that be something which would then get laded onto a ship and sent somewhere else in the country?
Uh-huh. Well, that's a good question. At first, of course, the Pensacola brick-making industry did develop because of local needs. They recognized very early on in the Spanish period that there were good clay resources here. Of course, the Native Americans have been making pottery for thousands of years in
right.
our region. But they found that the clay was good for bricks and started manufacturing bricks actually in the first Spanish period before the British ever came. And those bricks were used in construction of two different presidios, the one on St. Island and the one that is in the current downtown. And that was a brick kiln that was developed very close to where downtown is now. In the time period we're talking about, they had expanded to do exports for different projects around the Gulf Coast. And into the American period, it really boomed. And there were bricks being exported from Pensacola all up and down the Gulf Coast and over even to the Atlantic. And those exports had to do with military expansion by the U.S. government.
Okay, so the building of like forts and things is what I'm imagining. Is that kind of the use?
Yes.
Huh. Yes. Interesting.
You know, if you go to visit any of the forts around here that are built after 1821, those were built by bricks made locally.
Huh.
So it's an interesting part of our military history. And it's also an interesting part of the history of how people here interacted, because I think it's really important to remember that the bricks themselves were produced by enslaved labor from slavery work, and that it's just very important to remember that kind of thing when we look at these sort of monuments to our past. Let's not leave anybody out of the story.
You know, it's an important reminder because I think for a lot of people the sort of popular consciousness notion of slavery's shape in the South was the cotton plantation. And so don't forget that if you're working in timber or if you're working in brick making or if you're working in, a whole range of fields, that, you know, slaves were more than just plantation pickers, right?
Absolutely. You know, they were members of our society.
Yeah.
And their skills were valued. Their skills were sought. And enslaved people with certain sets of skills were sought out. And that is part of the story of slavery in our country. We knew that, you know, slaves were extremely talented in certain areas and were brought in. And that started happening from very early on in the colonial period. So it wasn't just in this time period. It was through the entire centuries of colonial rule. And they were an important part of Pensacola's population, not just enslaved people, but the Creoles and the Creole society that sprang up here. It was just a different relationship. And I'm not going to paint a rosy picture mm-hmm. for you, because if someone is enslaved, they are a slave.
Right.
They have limited rights and freedoms. But it was different here in a Spanish colonial city than it was in Anglo-America. They had more rights and access to courts and legal proceedings than could have ever happened in an English colony.
Which is the byproduct of the Catholic impulse that we talked about. I think it was you and I who talked about this previously, that, you know, some of the trappings of the religious views about the value of persons, despite the existence of slavery, still made it sort of a, mm-hmm. and I hate to say it this way, but a better kind of slavery, or a less awful kind of slavery. Very interesting stuff. Well, that's why I like to do this, because I always learn something. And thinking about, you know, Pensacola as the source of bricks for all of these post-colonial forts and stuff, it's fascinating stuff. Deborah, thank you so much for writing as a part of this series. Deborah Mullen, she's a historical archaeologist. Thanks for spending a few moments with us, teaching us a little tiny slice of this rich history of our area. We super appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, and I just wanted to say to your listeners that there's some great books. None of them directly deal with Pensacola, but Pensacola is always included, and so much more research could be done. But a very readable and interesting book that includes discussion of Pensacola, if some of your listeners are interested in the Creole population, it's called Creoles of Color of the Gulf South, and it is an edited work by an historian with the last name Dorman, and they can find that easily. Again, it's Creoles of Color of the Gulf South, and it's a really great and informative read, and it's very interesting. So I would encourage all of the listeners here to find out more about our own history.